Off the Ball, GAA.
And I always, you love young players coming through because it just gives everyone a kind of a spring in their step, and you see the future and you see there's hope there. When you have your kind of guys 29, 30, 31, it's kind of a last chance saloon, the last dance. We might win the All-Ireland this year, we have winners. When it's young players coming through, you see another 10 years of success.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Now, you're very welcome back to Off the Ball this Tuesday evening. Thanks for joining us. If you're in the car on the way to training, you're probably late. You probably should be there for 7 p.m. this evening if you're going to get your training session in. If you're not, if you're heading anywhere else, stay with us. We've got a really good piece coming up here over the next little while with Mayo coach Paddy Talley. Paddy, how are you doing?
Not so bad, Tommy. How's the form?
I'm very well. Thanks very much for joining us this evening. I know you're here because of a really important cause that's close to your heart. But the 25th annual Circuit All-Ireland GAA Golf Challenge was launched in Michael Ling Motors in Kilkenny this morning. I know you were down and you would have been chatting to other members of the media. It's 25 years now, but they've often raised, and they always raise, funds for really important causes and really worthwhile causes tangentially related to the GAA. And this year's beneficiary is going to be Katrina McGann from your own club and parish of Galbally. You might just tell us a little bit about Katrina and just a fabulous woman who's had a very difficult last 18 months or year or so after an accident.
Yeah, Tommy, we're launched this morning for the Golf Classic for Katrina, and there's a fundraising effort on at the moment called Gathering for McGann. Katrina is she's a member of the Galbally Pierces Club. She was a former player of our club. She also played for our neighbouring club as well, a collegial ladies football team. She also played for Tyrone. She represented University of Ulster Jordanstown. She also played then for a number of other teams as well as the Tyrone ladies. Katrina's then spent a good part of her life as a coach with the Tyrone County Board and then Ulster GAA as a fundamentalist coach on the programme that had been run by the Ulster GAA for years. And then she moved on in different parts of her life. She was living in England. She was she worked as a Pilates instructor along with various other things. And the type of girl Katrina is, she comes from the McGahan family. They live a few miles from here up in a part of the country we call Achnagar, which is a country area. She comes from a farming background. Katrina was flying home weekly to help out on the family farm. Katrina lost her mother last year, and she lost her father a few years back, and she came home for the weekends to help out her sisters on the family farm, and then fly back to England again and spend her week doing her work, and this went on. So she's an incredible, incredible girl. You know, sometimes people say, you know, you use the term loosely about people who light up a room. This is one person who lights up a room. She's an exceptionally happy, cheerful, inspiring individual, and she's probably been dealt one of the cruelest blows that happened to anybody. Katrina was involved in an accident not that long ago where she ended up being with paralysis from the waist down, and she now is confined to a wheelchair and needs a lot of attention. But funny enough, I hadn't seen her in a while, and about a fortnight ago, about three or four weeks ago, I was at a funeral, local funeral here in the graveyard, and I met Katrina as I was coming out to the graveyard gate. She was with her two sisters, Michelle and Danuta, in the wheelchair, and Tommy, it was probably the best half an hour's crack I spent in a long time with someone who I hadn't seen in a while, and she, I remember walking out to the gate thinking, God, how lucky I was, but also, you know, if you want inspiration, you talk to someone like her who has been dealt a hard blow, but just sees life as something to be lived. So the Golf Classic this year, well, it's been doing great work over the years, and as you said, raises funds for worthwhile causes. And today at the event, there's a few people there who had benefited from the Classic who had also had accidents like Katrina's.
Yeah.
So it was great today to see the people turning out. I had a good chat to Tommy Walsh was there, Kilkenny Hurler and Barney Rock was there, a few of the Kilkenny lads that are the current squad are about, and a lot of Nicky Brennan, the former GAA, Eric Duran was present. He had a good chat to him, and just people coming together to say, what can they do to help out people, and playing golf, getting together, and seeing Killarney later on in the year, 2 days in October. and all the pre-season will go to Gallen from Yaha, which will help hopefully make the trainer's life that a little bit easier. And we're also in the club at the moment. There's good drive going on to help any way we can. So it's something that's very close to the hearts of the people in Galway. Last Saturday we had a tournament, a wheelchair football tournament, hybrid rugby, hybrid Australian rules, hybrid whatever you want to use, you know, in the game.
That's fabulous.
And there's over 60 teams arrived to play. A lot of Katrina's former teammates have come back from all over the world. There's girls flying back in from England and all over the country to play and to show support for her. And some of the stuff that was going on was crazy, and Katrina was stuck in the middle of it playing, you know, and it was amazing. But that's
fantastic.
Yeah, that's what the crack was today, Tommy.
Yeah. Well, look, Paddy, you mentioned it there, the Searcy All-Ireland GA Golf Challenge, and it's in Killarney Golf and Fishing Club on October 15th and 16th. And you mentioned there's a GoFundMe as well. And look at it, you've told the story so well, and I know it's a personal one for you. You'd know the family and you'd know Katrina, but it does stop you in your tracks when you hear of somebody living life the way that she did, and it can just be shook up and turned upside down in the manner in which it was. So fair play, and hopefully you can all keep pushing on and driving it around her as well, because I'm sure all that support goes an awful long way with her too. So you do get to see that, don't you, in communities all around Ireland when something like that happens, and people kind of get shook out of their daily stresses and kind of pull together, don't they?
Without doubt, and you know, we're so blessed to have the GAA and moments like this, you know, and for it would happen anyway, regardless, Tommy. You know, it happened if it wasn't the GAA, you know, we get fantastic support from the local area. It's the type of people we are, where we come from. Galway people are notorious. If you ask anybody when they want to do a fundraising drive and want to sell tickets, the first place people want to go to is Galway. It's notoriously good for supporting other clubs and GAA clubs and fundraising for people. But this here is very personal to us at the minute, and we're just delighted to help all we can do. But the GAA family as a whole, and you know, Katrina was taken back by the fact that the people have decided to whatever proceeds happen, they should give to her. Like, you know, she's pretty much shocked at the time, and even coming and meeting people at the start, I know from speaking to people that met her, they said she was slightly reluctant, you know, to even go. She was that modest, and she felt nearly embarrassed about what people are doing. But now we're, you know, she's coming out of it a bit, and I think last Saturday was a big milestone for her. It helped her an awful lot. So
that's good to hear.
We'll just get behind her and do what we can.
Yeah, fair play, Paddy. Paddy, it's Tuesday evening. It's nearly 7:45. And you're live on us here on News Talk. Mayo football coach, what's the story? Why aren't you training? I had to send a text to my club manager, Colm Collins, former Clare boss, and didn't get a response that I wouldn't make it to training this evening. How did you get out of it down in Mayo?
Yeah, we're off tonight. We're back on tomorrow night.
Lovely. So you're going the kind of the Wednesday rhythm of the week to try and get ready for us coming this Sunday.
Yeah, well, we just been training Sunday, and we just, you know, Andy's routine is and the lads recommend is 48 hours post session for recovery, and then come back in and ready to clip tomorrow night.
Andy Moran got the job in August. I take it you two met at some stage between the end of your time as Derry boss and the beginning of his time as Mayo boss, and you joined his coaching team for the year ahead. How did Andy Moran get a hold of you, and how did he sell it to you to join him in Mayo for this season?
We just to be honest, we played Monaghan last year, the challenge match when I was managing Derry. Andy was up with the Monaghan lads in a challenge game up in Owen Bay. It was good game, but off the side of it, I'd never met Andy before, to be honest with you. But a bit of a chat off the side, and we're talking about the game itself and how things were going, and then when I finished up with Derry for the season, and he just made an approach, and he says, would you be interested in coming and working in Mayo? And to be honest with Tommy, at the time, I didn't really have anything planned. My season had finished with Derry, and I probably, in one way, I hadn't sure what I was going to do, really. But when we spoke about it, Andy's infectious when it comes to enthusiasm. He's a very ambitious young man, and not just in his football but in his life. And he talked about the potential he could see in the Mayo players. He felt it was a team that could certainly should be competing. And personally, I suppose when I looked at it, it was one of the ones that over the years, when you're thinking about thinking about teams that have been very competitive in All-Ireland series for the last, say, even 15, 20 years, but just haven't got across the line. So it provided me with a new challenge and one that I'm delighted that I took up. And I have to say I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
I want to dig into that a little bit. Like, you have had a life, like, as a coach in Gaelic football, and it dates back to an awful long time. To, you're obviously a player back in the day as well, but at just 29 years of age, Mickey Hart brought you on board as a coach in with the Tyrone set up back in 2003, 23 years ago. It's a fair stint, Paddy, to be still going. And one of my favourite GAA books growing up was the diary that Mickey kept alongside Kieran Shannon back in the day, kicking down heaven's door. And he spoke about bringing you in back then as a coach. So you've worked with so many different managers over the years. First question, how different is Andy Moran to the other managers that you've worked with? You've been with Jack O'Connor in recent years, with Kevin Walsh, Mickey, as I mentioned. You've been a manager in your own right as well, working with other coaches. Mm-hmm. What's this current Mayo setup like? Obviously so young and so early into their reign.
I'd say it's the first time I've worked with a manager that's just younger than I am. You know, that's the first thing I'll say. So he's a young manager. Like, normally I'm the coach coming in to work with a more senior person and bringing freshness and youth. But I have to concede the fact that Andy is a good few years younger than I am, and he's bringing the youth and the enthusiasm, you know, and that energy. Like, so no, firstly, Andy's great. Around the team, he is... He's just Andy. Like, he's a really enthusiastic individual. He's full of energy. He's very smart. His football intelligence is very high. He's very willing to listen, which I like about. I like it with Andy is, like, you know, he's an open book. You know, what you generally see is what you get with him. He has his ideas, he has a philosophy in football, but he's really grounded in Mayo football. He also has done a stint with Monaghan last year, which is a big learning curve for him, and spent years in Leitrim before that. So he has served a bit, half his time as a manager and as a coach with another senior team. So he's probably early on in his journey compared to where I am in terms of time, but he's learned an awful lot in that time, and I'm very impressed with his way of doing things. He seems to have just lit the fuse again in Mayo, and there's the hope and the expectation in Mayo that something good could come about is back on again. And they're just looking forward to getting stuck into the football the weekend again. That's just, it seemed to be the way Mayo go about it. It's they, you know, there's, I remember when watching me over the years, even coaching against me, I always found myself, gee, this is a hard team to coach against because there's an unpredictability about the way they play. And I'm still sometimes trying to work that out myself. Even when I'm coaching them, you have to change your way of thinking because they play a football in a different style than most other teams.
That's really interesting. And especially in this new game, I think that's a good thing to hear about a side as well. You would have been unfairly brandished, not that it's a bad thing, but I think you would have been boxed off as a defensive coach in some circles, and mm-hmm. people might have called you that. But anyone I've spoken to who's been coached by you over the years, and even from chatting to you on the football pod back in the day as well, Paddy Talley is a football coach. There's no mm-hmm. defensiveness about it or attackingness about it. So it's football that you coach, and when you're working with sides, and that's something that you love and you've developed over the years. Talk to me about coaching in the new rules and the new game of Gaelic football that we have, because, you know, so much has changed, so much will change and evolve over the next little while. What are you seeing at the coalface?
Yeah, I'm saying two things. I'm saying that the new rules have been a seismic shift in our game. We have the game that we're playing now, or the game we're coaching now, is really, really different to what we've been used to for time now. Let's go back a bit, like, Tommy. I was sort of explaining earlier on today, one of the lads is, I grew up in the time watching football in the 80s, I suppose in the early 80s and right through the 90s, where our game would have been a kicking game, essentially, you know, and there would have been a bit of hand pass movement or whatever, but generally it was a kicking game. They've always kicked out. There was high fielding competition. There was very rarely would you see a goalkeeper chipping about out short. You know, it wasn't really done. If you go back and look at the games, like, I grew up watching that great Kerry team where Charlie Nelligan put the ball down and he put the rugby boot through the back of it, you know, and when he the ball down the alley, John O'Leary put the ball down and he put the rugby boot back through the back of it too. Aidan Skelton did it in Tyrone, and generally every goalkeeper in Ireland seen how far they could kick the ball down. Yeah. It was a It was a battle in the middle of the park. And when the first thing the boy, when the broken ball was head up and put it straight inside, like, you know, and they made him a one sideways pass. Generally, there wasn't two, like, you know, and that was just the way
There was a beauty in the brawn, but I think we can be guilty of looking back with maybe golden goggles sometimes too.
Yeah. And one thing I'm not saying is, I'm not saying it was beautiful in any sense of the word. I'm saying it was, aesthetically, it probably wasn't as pleasing as some other parts of the modern day game, but it was a very direct type of game, you know. So the new game, so then when you think of the way the game transitioned, and generally through the noughties, we played a very high tempo game with the Tyrone team, or it was very intense, it was very off the cuff, there was kicking involved. A lot of hand passing, obviously, too. But then that great Dublin team played a mixture of hybrid game between the both of the things. The Kerry team have always played a kicking game. And then it's probably round about, you know, Donegal were probably the teams that really brought the game to a very possession-based game. And that possession-based game then changed the whole fabric of football, I think. I have to say that I think it was the biggest change. And I always look back to that game, the semi-final game between Dublin and Donegal.
Yeah.
Where Kevin Casty, you know, or those couple of games where I think it was a Dublin come through by a point. I think it was a very low scoring semi final.
Yeah, well, 11, yeah.
That was the first time I saw a game where it just was very, very structured, very organised, very defensively orientated. And it changed the whole fabric of the game. And those couple of years, I think, changed Gaelic football, because I think a lot of managers looked on and said, well, God, if we play that defensive game, we can stay in matches. So even club football became like that, you know, the 15 men behind the ball playing on the break. And that was the first time I really think that became evident, that was a tactic, you know. So, but anybody who grew up, if you think of young players that watched the game from even 18, 19 to now, they probably, that's all they've ever saw until this new change. But we did see a different way of playing football back in the 80s and 90s. I'm not saying it was brilliant, but we did see a different way. So I think as coaches, you know, we do look back and say, well, this game isn't that different to what we did see years ago. There was a lot more one-to-one battles, a lot more big kickouts. So the game itself, I don't think is a bit of a throwback to the past. But the new game with the new rules, the 11-ups, a massive change. The solo on goals, a massive change. The two-point arcs, massive change. And those things now are dictating the new game, which I think I think they're great. I don't think the game's perfect. I think there's a few things we have changed. I don't think we needed to. But certainly the scoring system and the solo on goal and the two-point arc have changed the game completely.
For sure. Paddy, we've less than a minute here, and there's a cracking game of football ahead of us at the weekend between Mayo and Roscommon. Roscommon have been dealt a blow in the sense that Darragh Craig has had his appeal fail from the red card, so he's going to be suspended at the weekend. We haven't seen any team news yet, but you've coached a couple of prodigies across your 20-odd years in Gaelic football. Cobbie MacDonald, how good is he?
Ah, Cobbie's super. He's a super young player. He's still so young. He's just finishing his leaving cert at the minute, and he's supposed to get his leaving cert completed. He's playing under 20 football. He's in with the seniors. He's a super player. As you say, like, very rarely will you see a player coming through like that's demanding so much attention, not just in Mayo, but throughout the country. Like, I think people enjoy watching him, which is a sign that people are tuning in to watch a lad playing under 20 football during the week to see what he can do. And then looking forward to seeing him playing with the senior team. Also, obviously, the Australians have identified this area and decided to come early looking for him. You know, so he's very good. So, really good and a really nice young lad too. Like,
you're not going to be giving us any exclusives here. You've still got a training session on Wednesday, so I'm not sure we'll get any team news from you this evening, Paddy Talley. But Paddy, thanks
not
very
my
much.
Job, Tommy. Not my job.
Not Tommy. Your job. I might see you on Sunday. I'm covering the game for Off the Ball. Really appreciate your time this Tuesday evening. It's for a great cause. We will share the link to the fundraiser for the All-Ireland GA Golf Classic. It's brilliantly organised every year, and it's always for great causes. And for Katrina McGahan, we do hope that there's plenty of funds raised as well. Paddy Talley, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks very much, Tommy. All the best.